Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Brian London, editor of the Gold Newsletter, also our host down at the New Orleans Investment Conference. Now, Brian, we're going to focus on the precious metals sector, and we have some positive stuff to say about the precious metals sector. Boy, oh boy, was it choppy, and again, kind of getting into the doldrums here early this year, but yesterday's move higher in gold, bringing gold up to right around 1840. Silver moved even stronger. And today, gold's for the most part flat, up about $2 on the spot market. But silver's up another 50 plus cents. And now silver's almost at $25 an ounce. So some nice moves by the precious metals. And even more so, nice moves by the gold and silver stocks yesterday. I saw a wide range of stocks up 2 to 12% on no news, simply on the fact that the sector, I guess, drew in a little bit more money. Brian, what's your takeaway from the moves, the nice moves higher that we saw yesterday in precious metals and the stocks?
Yeah, I was obviously, like everybody else, blown away by it and enthused by it. What's interesting to me is that nobody really predicted it that I saw. You know, I had kind of this spidey sense tingling because everybody I saw commenting out there was saying pretty much what I was saying too, that the track record is, the pattern is that gold doesn't really move until right after, right when the Fed has its first rate hike. So my advice to people was that we'll probably be sideways to down in the meantime. That's what the metals have always done. And then we'll take off in a couple months, really, when the Fed has its first rate hike. And I did acknowledge that, you know, it may come before then. Traders may start front running the pattern because it is so well recognized now. But really, nobody, including me, predicted what happened yesterday. And on not a lot of news either. We had that Empire State Manufacturing Index traded, you know, a bad miss on that. It was actually negative. But all of this can easily be explained by Omicron, and that's, you know, fading away now, starting to fade away. So it all looks like short-term impacts on the economy, or can be explained by the mainstream like that. But no, gold took off. What was interesting as well was that silver had taken off the day before, but gold did not. It actually traded down about $5. And then the next day, gold answered the bell and went up along with silver. And as you mentioned, silver's up another 50 cents today. It's approaching that critical $25 line in the sand, as it were. And gold has already gone through its line in the sand. It's already burst through 1835, that resistance line, again. So the gold bugs right now are stuck in that emotional trap, really happy about what happened yesterday, but nervous. You know, they don't want to jinx it. They don't want to count their chickens right now or the eggs before they're hatched. All of that stuff, they're nervous and hoping it holds. And so far it has. So that's really encouraging today, is that silver has kept moving upward and gold is flat or a bit higher. So it is maintaining that move. It's validating yesterday's move.
Well, Brian, it is exciting to see silver on the move first and outperforming gold. And then we also saw the seniors in GDX take off at a multiple to what the metals were moving. And we saw the juniors in GDXJ and SILJ. I mean, they were up 7.5 to, and then SILJ was up 9% yesterday. So definitely outperforming the moves in the metals, which is generally a bullish sign. And I don't want to throw water on the fire or a wet blanket over this, but I just have to ask, we had all been looking at the tax law selling being so extreme in December, and suggesting that there's generally a bounce into the first quarter in January and February, just strictly from that being oversold and an oversold bounce. Is it possible that that's all that was yesterday and today, and that maybe people are getting a little too excited and tying it to the rate hikes a bit early?
No, I don't think so, because typically you see strong moves in the first week or so of January. And we did see, you know, the second day of trading, we had a nice bounce in the metals. But I had kind of resigned myself to the fact that we weren't going to see that kind of New Year strength that we often see. But looks like we might be seeing it right now. I don't think it's so much the tax loss trading, although It is possible. It's been about a month since the peak of that trading, that selling, rather. But I'm kind of hoping that maybe what we're seeing is some of this Basel III impact, that the London bullion market having to cater to the Basel III regulations may be curtailing a lot of the gains that we've seen in the paper gold and paper silver markets. I'm still very skeptical about that, but hopeful still. This is when we should be seeing some impact from that, if there will be an impact.
So one thing to consider too is, positive as these moves were in the last couple of days, and the fact that silver, gold, a couple of these different charts are showing key moves above moving averages, key moving averages to pay attention to. But if you're still looking at a weekly chart, gold still hasn't broken past its last lower high, which we can train is somewhere around 1880. Same with silver and same with GDX. So there is still some work to do on the upside with, well, considering just how washed out sentiment has been. What are you going to be watching, Brian? Is it going to be the majors? Is it going to be GDX? Is it going to be the actual gold price? Or is it going to be some other market as a sign that this rally is going to continue and not just peter out like many rallies have in the last year plus?
Yeah, I'm going to be watching the gold price. I think everything else is a derivative of that. And that's what's really going to move the market. And of course, the gold price is going to depend on other things like the 10-year yield, whether the stock market continues or accelerates to the downside and creates that kind of hissy fit that delivers a message to the Fed. I think one risk is that the Fed, instead of trying to tighten monetary policy, is forced to make a dramatic 180 and abandon that. What we may be seeing right now is that the Fed instead kind of drags its heels and doesn't really. And what it's doing right now is it's not really tightening monetary policy. It's still buying assets. It's still adding to its balance sheet as we speak. So we haven't seen the Fed actually do more than talk about tightening monetary policy. So one risk is that they continue to drag their feet and continue to slow walk that policy. And we don't see that kind of sharp message that they're impotent and they can't do anything. And that's not really much of a risk, because I think that overall is still bullish for gold. Russia and Ukraine is the kind of thing that could give gold a quick shot in the arm. I hope it doesn't happen, because you want gold to move for the monetary issues and not the geopolitical issues, if you want any kind of a sustained upward trend. But yeah, it's all going to be told by gold. And that's really the thing to watch. We got above that 1835 area in mid-November, and then we came right back down. So the question now is this one going to stick? And remains to be seen. Right now, I think gold bulls are nervous, but happy.
It reminds me of periods we've seen in the past, Brian, where at conferences people were interviewed and they'd say they were cautiously optimistic. But it's at this point where at least it's a good move for the metals. It's sure better than the opposite in selling down into the rate hikes. But I wonder, Brian, if we're going to see not a catastrophic situation, but more a death by a thousand as the Fed starts hiking. And most people are forecasting 4 hikes for this year, unless you're Jamie Dimon. And then he's forecasting 7 hikes for this year. But regardless, it looks like it's a rate hiking cycle. It's not just a one-off event. It's going to be a series of these hikes. Do you think it's a point where eventually the markets tell the Fed they've got to stop? And could that be a catalyst that supercharges gold at that point?
Yeah, I do. I think the market at some point will tell the Fed to stop. Where that point is, I don't know. It may be after a few rate hikes. It may be before rate hikes even begin. Regardless, the level of the federal debt right now means that they won't be able to get the Fed funds rate over 2% in my estimation. So they're going to have to stop earlier than they did the last time. So that implies that we have maybe 18 months of an attempt to raise rates, to tighten monetary policy before they are forced to reverse course. But gold has typically performed well in that kind of an environment. So it's not necessarily a bad thing for the Fed to start raising rates. I wish they would start tomorrow and deliver that message to the market.
Well, it won't be tomorrow, Brian, but it could be very soon. The expectations right now are for March, but we are going to be hearing from the Fed in relatively short order. So we'll get hopefully some more clarity on that aspect. Let's talk about some of the stocks then, because look, yesterday is a day where it makes, I think, any investor who's invested in the space feel good because of the fact that everything went higher. Again, you could have just been in GDX and made over 5% just on that day. So those days are great and everyone says, oh, perfect, my portfolio is going up. But what stocks are you looking for right now? Because really it is all about beating the market, beating GDX. So where do you think you can do that?
Yeah, if I look at some of the companies that did not move that much yesterday, and it might, hopefully it's not because there's something wrong with the company that we're not seeing, but it's a good company and they're just not getting the recognition that they deserve. Companies in that category that I would have to say are good buys right now would be, you know, I like Goldshore Resources. I don't own it, but I do like it. It is a recommendation in Gold Newsletter. It did not move yesterday in that big move higher by in the junior stocks. I like Heliostar Metals. It moved a bit yesterday, but it's still well under its peak levels. I like, I like Silver X Mining. That's a good silver story. They're actually producing silver and have plans to multiply or increase their throughput by about 3 times. It's just a permitting issue right now. And they're exploring and will be coming out with a resource estimate at some point early this year. That's a company that did not move yesterday. It's a very well-run company. I don't think I think they're just really getting their investor relations game up to speed because, you know, of COVID. Nobody's visited the property since they acquired it. And I think that's one that's very well positioned to be a lever on a rising silver price.
Well, Brian, just to that point, how much do you think the marketing and promotion or the ability for the management team to message to the market a clear vision of where the company is going is relative to the stock price performance? Because we see certain companies that maybe don't even have as good of projects, but they're amazing at messaging and their share price has a rabid, you know, fan base and following. And we see other companies putting out really great, solid results. They're doing great work. And sometimes there just isn't a move in the share price. How much do you think it comes down to just being able to tell the message?
Yeah, it's tremendously important. As they say, promotion is not a bad word in the junior mining sector. A company needs to be able to get its story out. It needs to be on everyone's radar screens and most people's radar screens and have eyes watching it for that catalytic news when it comes out. So yeah, it's tremendously important. And of course, our job, my job, your job, Corey's job is to try and bring a spotlight on those companies that the market has overlooked for some reason that represent value. And it's out there. I tell people all the time, I tell newbies to the sector that it is a very inefficient sector and you can outwork other people. You can find the value that's been overlooked, at least temporarily. You just have to put in the skull sweat, a bit of money to go to the best conferences, subscribe to the best newsletters, a bit of experience, but you can find them out there and you can outperform if you're willing to put in the work.
Very true, Brian. We'll wrap it up here. That is a key point for everybody to understand, is that it does take a lot of work to individually pick stocks. You're not going to win on all of them. And quite frankly, those stocks still are very dependent on the underlying market, or in this case, the underlying commodity. While we can see some stocks buck the trend when a commodity is, let's say, correcting or flat, fact of the matter is they're few and far between. So you really do need to be on top of your investments. And we try to bring on as many companies as we can just to help get the story out there and help everyone make their decisions, because, well, it still is everyone's decision in terms of what you invest in. So, hey, we'll follow up with some of those companies that you mentioned. We already have had a couple of them on the show. So we appreciate all of your time, Brian. And let's hope when we chat again in 2 weeks that we're still talking as positively as we are now about the sector.
Great point, Corey. I hope so as well. Talk to you soon.